There are times when following in someone's footsteps requires us to fill very big shoes. That was true for Joshua, who took charge of Israel after the legendary Moses had stopped just short of ushering God's people into the Promised Land. Most of us will not be called to direct an entire nation, but in our own spheres of influence, we can all demonstrate courageous leadership. The title of our new four-part series at Northgate, Joshua's story will help us consider the integrity, strength, and reliance on God required to lead our lives and influence others. Let's take a listen.
It's good to be here with you this morning. What a beautiful day. Good day to be here. We are wrapping up our series in Joshua, and if you want to follow along in the scripture, it's Joshua 23 is where we're going to start today. If you've been with us, you know that we are skipping a number of chapters, okay? We're skipping all the way from chapter 6, which Pastor John talked about last week with the Battle of Jericho. We're going from chapter 6 all the way over to chapter 23. Let me tell you why. In the first message in this series, a few weeks ago, we talked about Joshua accepting the role of a leader from Moses. He was following a great leader in Moses. He had to take on that role. God offered it to him. He took it and stepped up to the plate. In the second message, we talked about how Joshua then had to lead his people out over the Jordan River, which was a challenge of his leadership and an opportunity for God to show that he was going to walk with Joshua just as he walked with Moses, that God was going to bless Joshua with all that he needed to be the leader of these people. And then last week, Pastor John talked about that Battle of Jericho and Joshua's leadership there. So we have been talking about Joshua's courageous leadership throughout this series, and that's where we're going to kind of wind it up today. But the reason we're skipping from chapter 6 to chapter 23, if you're not familiar with the book of Joshua, between chapter 6 and 23, there's a lot of stuff that just keeps happening again and again. So let me tell you what it is. There are battles to be fought. So the nation of Israel has been promised this land, and God has said, he said to them centuries before, you're going to live here one day, but they're going to have to fight some battles in order to take possession of the land. And so a lot of those chapters in between 6 and 23 are about them going to battle and taking the land. And then another part of it is about apportioning the land. There were 12 tribes of Israel, and each tribe got its own section of land, its own place to live. And so they had to apportion that out, set the boundaries for all of that, and that happens in those chapters as well. So it's kind of, that's basically what happens between 6 and 23. You can read it for yourself. I encourage you to do it. But we're going to skip to the end of Joshua, and we're going to look at what happens as Joshua is getting ready to pass on to his leaders and his people what God has taught him, what God has showed him in all of these years that he has been leading Israel. So Joshua began probably the first 20 years of his life he spent in Egypt, as other Israelites did, as a slave to the Egyptians. And then when Moses brought them out of Egypt, he spent about 40 years with the rest of them wandering through the wilderness. And now he has led them through these battles in the Promised Land in Canaan, and he has reached the age of 110. Anybody here 110? I'm just curious. Oh, one man in the back. That's not true. That's not. I know you. You're not 110. Anyway, you know, we do have people in our church who are in their 90s and who are still leading, and I think that is awesome. There's a couple of gentlemen right over here. Yeah, we should, because they are great examples. I won't embarrass them, but they are two great examples of what it means to be a Christian man and to continue to be leading in your 90s. So maybe one of them will make it to 110. But whether we make it to 110 or not, God has called us to be consistent, faithful leaders. And this is what Joshua is. Joshua is a consistent, faithful leader. He's an obedient leader. He's now reached the time in his life where he knows his time on earth is short. And so he gathers his leaders and his people together to pass on to them the things that are most important. You know, we all pass on things, right? We all leave things behind when we leave, right? You know, snails leave slime, just for an example, okay, right? None of us want to leave slime behind, right? I was reading about people, what they leave behind in Uber cars. You know, about Uber, you go to a city, you take Uber somewhere. You know, I was reading about some of the things people left behind in an Uber. They've left behind, a man left a tuxedo, a bride left a veil, her bridal veil. Someone left their marriage certificate. They're going to miss that. Someone else left a divorce papers. Okay, I kind of think there's a story there: tuxedo, bridal veil, marriage certificate, divorce. It's kind of like, you know, a divorce. Somebody left a jetpack. How do you forget your jetpack, right? You step out of your Uber without your jetpack, right? What else? Somebody left a flat-screen TV. Again, how do you do that? You know, I had something with me when I came. What was that? Oh, yeah, flat-screen TV. I thought this was cool. A red cape. Now we know for certain how Superman gets everywhere so quickly, okay? It's Uber. Anyway, we all leave. I'm leaving. You know, I've already decided what I'm leaving behind. Books. I got mountains of books in my house, and my kids are going to have so much fun cleaning them out when I'm gone. They're just going to be complaining all day long as they box up books. What are we going to do with these books? Anyway, I'm going to enjoy that. From heaven, I'm just going to be laughing hysterically, but they probably won't be. Anyway, we all leave things behind. What do you want to leave behind? What do you want your legacy to be? Okay? You want to, you know, some people leave behind a building, right? I mean, some people, their name's on a building, and that's great, but you know, after a generation, you know, people are asking, "Who was that? Who was that guy or woman who donated for that building?" You know, well, you know, we leave things. We want to leave something that matters, right? We want to leave something that has lasting value, that makes a difference to the generation behind us. You know, the interesting thing is, you read Joshua. I'm going to skip right. I'll make this point now instead of at the end. Joshua apparently had no children, okay, at least none that the Bible tells us about, all right? So he didn't leave things to his children, but he left things to a generation, okay, of leaders, and we'll see that when we read the last few verses of the book. But, you know, we only really get to influence a generation or two at best, maybe three if we're really fortunate to live that long. We get to influence one, two, maybe three generations with who we are as people, right? And it matters that we influence them in the right ways. It matters that what we pass on has real value. And it's not the stuff. You know, like I said, you know, I mean, some of you have been there with me, you know, when you're cleaning out somebody's house, you know, the stuff is not all that important. You know, there might be an item or two that has real sentimental value, but that's not the stuff that really is important to you. What's important to you is, who was that person to me, right? What did they leave behind in terms of their values and their character and their principles and what they taught me and the person that they shaped me to be? And here's the first point I want to make. We get to choose the legacy we'll pass on. We get to choose that, you know? We may not get to choose the stuff, you know? We may not have things that we would like, the heirlooms and kind of things. You know, maybe that's not our lot. But we can still choose to pass on something of great importance, and we get to choose what that's going to be. So we're going to look at three things that Joshua passed on, and it's in Joshua 23. I'm going to read starting with verse 6. Three things he passed on, they're found in these verses. Be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Three things that Joshua passes on to his leaders and to his people. And the first one is this: our strength is rooted in obedience to God's word. Stay in it. Be very strong, he says. Know God's word and follow it. Obey it. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but follow a straight line and let that straight line be determined by what God says in his word. That's the first thing that he passes on as a legacy. This is Joshua's life. Joshua trusted God for everything that God had said, and he followed God. Remember back when they first explored the promised land? You probably remember this story. They first explored this land, and they could have gone in, they could have taken it. And the spies went in, they looked at it all, and they came back, and Joshua and Caleb were the only two of 12 who said, yes, God is with us, and he will lead us to victory if we go now. The other 10 said, no way, we're scared, we can't do it, it won't work, we can't do it now. And they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness because 10 people would not believe and trust God for what God had promised. But Joshua was willing to do that. Joshua was willing to say, I do believe in God. I trust God's word. I trust what God has said to me, and I will follow him because he has said it. I'll be faithful to his word. And that's what he's saying here. He's 110 years old. He's looking back over his life, and he's looking out among his people, and he's saying, listen, I'm leaving shortly, and I won't be with you, but here's what I want you to know. First of all, you need to know God's word, and you need to follow God's word, and don't stray to the right or to the left, but you just follow God's word and trust he's going to take care of you. And if you do that, he says, you will have strength. You will be a stronger person because you know God's word and you follow God's word. You know, there are certain questions that everybody asks at some point in their life, right? Certain questions like, how did I get here? How did we get here? You know, what accounts for us? You know, where did we come from? How are we supposed to live? What's right and wrong? And that's a question that's becoming more and more confusing in our world, right? What is right? What is wrong? How are we supposed to live? What's the right way to live? And then where are we going from here? What happens when we die? What comes after that? Is there anything after that? These are the questions that we all ask at some point in our life. God's word has the answers to those questions. And if we study God's word and we read God's word and we trust God's word, that will give us strength. When we ask, where did we come from? We know we came from God. God put us here. We're not accidents, right? We're not accidents. God intended for every one of us to be here. He gave life to us. We are his creation. That gives us strength because it gives me value. It helps me to understand how important life is and how important my life is and how important your life is. And that takes me to the next one. If we know what God has said about right and wrong, we're not going to be swayed by public opinion or the influence of our friends or other people. I know what God has said, and I'm following that, and that gives me strength. You know what the world needs today? Leaders who know right and wrong and are willing to speak out for it, no matter what. Even if they don't get elected next cycle, they're willing to say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. Even if they lose their job, they're willing to say, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. Even if their children get angry and turn against them, they're willing to say, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. I know it to be right and I know it to be wrong because I know what God has said and I follow it. That gives us strength in this world. And then, where are we going when we leave here? Well, God has told us. If we're trusting in Jesus Christ, we're going to heaven. All of these troubles, all of these anxieties, all these things we have to put up with here, it's all going to be in the past. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be glorious. It's all going to be wonderful. So whatever happens to me here, whatever I have to go through, whatever difficulty I face, I know where I'm headed. And that gives me strength for the living today because I know where I'm going tomorrow. So that's the first thing Joshua says to his people. Be strong, and be strong by being obedient to God's word. Second thing he says is, our loyalty to God will be tested. Remain with him. Your loyalty to God is going to be tested. You see, when Joshua was getting ready to die, they had conquered enough of the land that they could settle in it, and it would be their home. But there were still people around them that were worshiping pagan gods, worshiping false gods, and had all kinds of false beliefs related to that worship of false gods. And so Joshua is warning them, listen, as you live among these people, you're going to be tempted. You're going to fall in love with someone who is not a follower of God, and you're going to want to marry them. You're going to become friends with people who are not followers of God, and you're going to be influenced by them, or you will be tempted to be. There will be enticement to dilute your values and your beliefs in God and your worship of God to go along with the people you live among. He says, watch out for that and hold fast to the Lord your God. Now, guys, dads, this morning, some of you have great wood shops and metal shops, and you do all kinds of really clever things. That's not me, okay? But I can glue, okay? I can glue. So when I thought of... Did somebody just praise me for that? I don't, Rosalina, did you? So when I read hold fast, I thought of Gorilla Glue, right? Because, you know, hold fast, right? So I'm clever enough. I took a, a brick. Should have got a rock. I thought it was too late. But let's let that stand for a rock, okay? And our rock is who? Christ. Thank you. So I took an old glove. I actually do manual labor, okay? There's the proof of it right there. So I took that and I glued the glove to the brick. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, isn't that good? Yeah, I know. That's the extent of my cleverness. Okay, so, but that's what I think. Let this image go with you. This is what I wanted. I wanted you to take this image away that we're holding. I'm not gripping this, by the way. I know I should have left this thumb off, but I'm not gripping this. It's really the glue. But this is the idea. Hold fast to the Lord your God. When you're tempted to be swayed by the culture around you, and this is so real to us today, this is right. I mean, you live in this every day. You live in this every day. I was talking with somebody this week, and they were talking about how in their workplace in a factory, there's all kinds of vulgar language, and he's just kind of wrestling with, I don't know when I should speak up and say something, and when I just let it slide, and how to handle it. And I thought, you know, that so many people, we're living in so many places where there's this influence of people that don't know God, don't love God, and we're trying to figure out how do we live in this world as Christian people and love people the way Jesus has told us to, but not let this influence kind of dilute our own worship and our faith in God. And that's the challenge. And it was the challenge in Joshua's day. And so God says, and Joshua says, because God has told him, just hold fast to the Lord your God. The third thing that Joshua says to his people is, our love for God matters, protect it. Our love for God matters, protect it. He says at the end of that passage, he says, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. Now, I thought that was interesting language. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. What does that mean? Well, as I thought about it, this is what I thought. We need to take care of, be full of care for, our love for God. You know, love has to be cared for. Love has to be protected. It has to be tended. It has to be nurtured. It has to be developed. It has to be maintained. You know, I've said this before. You know, there's that joke, and Deb and I used to joke this way a little bit. And, you know, you're married for a number of years, and Deb and I have been married 37 years, right? Yeah, 37 years this year. Thank you. Appreciate it. But here's the thing. If I had said to Deb, you know, when we got married, hey, I love you, and didn't say it to her again for 36 years, and she said, hey, do you still love me? I said, hey, I told you 36 years ago I loved you. If it changes, I'll let you know. I mean, what, you know, that wouldn't be right. Agreed? That would not be right, right? She needs to hear from me regularly that I love her. She needs to see from me that I love her. I need to care for our love. I need to protect our love because, you know, it'll be challenging. I mean, Deb and I have those challenges at times, too. We're like anybody, any other couple. We have moments where we bicker or we just, you know, not really that happy with each other. Or we're, you know, just taking things for granted. We all, you know, couples, by the way, married couples, if you're in our marriage study, some people have asked, we are meeting tonight, even though it's Father's Day, so if you're able to come, love to have you be here. But the thing is, love has to be cared for. It has to be protected. It has to be taken care of. And I think that's what Joshua is saying here. Just before that, he says, he reminds them, God has been faithful to every promise he made to you. So right now, you're in the promised land. You've won all these victories and battles. Things are going great. You love God because he has taken care of you, right, and given you all of this. But in time, if you don't take care, your love for God will diminish. You'll just begin to be neglectful of your love for God. You'll just begin to stop thinking about your love for God. You'll stop protecting your love for God. How's that happen today? It's such a beautiful day. I don't really want to go to church today. I mean, you know, that's an hour and a half, and it's, so let's take the day off. You know, it's another beautiful weekend. We only have so many of these weekends a year. I know we didn't go to church last week, but, you know, I mean, there's only a few of these in the summer. You know, so. Yeah, we'll stay home today. And you know what I'm saying. You know, we stop reading our Bibles. We stop praying. We stop getting together with people that love God. We stop thinking about how God has blessed us and taken care of us and what he's provided for us. And slowly, 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 we don't mean it to, But slowly, 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 our love for God just kind of gets brushed aside. Joshua's saying, don't let that happen. Be careful of your love for God. Protect it, just like you need to protect your love in every other relationship. Protect your love for God. Well, those are the three things that Joshua passes on as a legacy. After that, in chapter 24, he kind of goes through the history that Israel had with the Lord and how the Lord had watched over them and led them to this place. And then he gets to that verse 15, Joshua 24:15, that a lot of people have on plaques on their walls and so forth. He says this, he issues a challenge to them. He says, listen, God has done all of this for you, okay? And you're going to decide, it's your choice, what you're going to do about your relationship with God. But he says in verse 15, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, he's issuing the challenge to them. He's saying, listen, it's your choice. God isn't, you know, he's not going to force you to love him, to care for him, to follow him, to obey him. It's your choice. But Joshua says, for me, I'm 110 years old. I've been through a lot with the Lord. And my household, we're serving God. We're serving the Lord. We're maintaining that relationship with him. And I love what happens next. It really is kind of comical. Because the people say, we will too. And Joshua says, yeah, you can't. It's like he's brought them to this point. And they say, okay, we'll serve God. And he says, nah, you can't do it. And they say, yes, we can. And he says, okay, you're saying it. Yes, we are. We're saying we're going to serve the Lord. He says, okay, now. And then he brings them. It's really very clever on his part. Because then he says, okay, you've said it now. Your choice. You've said it. You're going to serve the Lord. You've committed to that. Show it. Show it. You've said it. Now show it. He says, now then, verse 23, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. God has brought you out of the wilderness. For some of you, that hits right at home. Your wilderness was addictions. Your wilderness was loneliness. Your wilderness was despair. Your wilderness was depression. Your wilderness was a lostness in this world. Your wilderness was something. For many of you, that hits right at home. God has brought you out of that. He's brought you to a good place, right? And he's saying to you now, leave that behind and stay with the Lord. Throw away the foreign gods among you. Stop looking to the things of your past that you thought were going to make you happy, that you thought were going to give you fulfillment, that you thought were going to bring you peace, and they never did. Leave them all behind. Throw them away. Stay with the Lord. You know, Joshua was not a perfect man. And we got to make this point as we come to the end of this. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. But he chose to pass on something of value, and that's a meaningful life. I was thinking about this morning as we're getting ready for the service. Joshua had to lead his people to battle after battle. And that's kind of like life for us, you know? You watch that Dad's Day clip, and it brought tears to my eyes. You know, it really did. Thinking about, I did a lot of those things with my kids. I also made a lot of mistakes as a dad. You know, there are things I could have done a whole lot better as a dad. And I regret that. And I've asked God to forgive me, and I've asked them to forgive me for those mistakes. But here's what I know. One, God does forgive us. And two, we just get up and we go on to the next thing. We go on to the next battle. We live to fight another day. But we fight the way God wants us to fight. We fight with the Lord with us. We fight following his commands for us. And that's how we achieve the victories. Joshua wasn't perfect, but he left behind this incredible legacy. Be strong in the Lord, hold fast to him, and love him. And that's way more important than any stuff we might leave. That's Joshua's legacy. Here's what it says at the end of Joshua. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. So there's that influence on his leaders and the next generation. They served the Lord because of Joshua's influence, because Joshua was a faithful, obedient man. They also learned to be faithful and obedient. Joshua's legacy, a people devoted to God and leaders who followed his example. And now, the choice is in our hands. The choice is in our hands. What will we do with God, and what are we going to pass on?